In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wander at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 4 with the congregation reading the bold print. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call. Offer the appointed sacrifices, and put your trust in the Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine abound. A reading from 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, and we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us in it is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of the Lord.
Oh.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday we had the funeral for Phyllis Giles, who died in December. And what I shared at her funeral, I think, speaks to the peace of the gospel that we get in our gospel lesson today in Luke. On her deathbed, we did the commendation of the dying, which is essentially last rites. And I asked if there's anything else I could do, if there's anything else she needed. She said she wanted her sins forgiven. And I gave her absolution. I announced forgiveness of her sins, and this brought her much joy and enabled her to not be troubled, but to be truly at peace. In the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, Philip Melanchthon writes, "It is well known that we have explained and extolled the benefit of absolution and the power of the keys, forgiveness, that many troubled consciousness have received consolation from our teaching." And that consolation is what Phyllis found in this teaching and ministry in her time of trial. And Melanchthon continues, he says, "They have heard it as a command from God, indeed the very voice of the gospel, so that we may believe the absolution and regard as certain that the forgiveness of sins is given to us freely on the account of Christ, and that we should maintain that we are truly reconciled to God by this faith. The approach has encouraged many devout minds, and in the beginning it brought Luther the highest praise of all good people. for it discloses a certain and firm consolation for the conscience. Whereas previously, the entire power of absolution was smothered by teachings about works, since the scholastics and monks taught nothing about faith and the gracious forgiveness of sins. So to hear that word of forgiveness and to know that it is the very voice of the gospel is incredibly powerful. Because not much different from the Lutheran reformers of the 16th century into our day, our culture seems to embody this, and it's probably true of every generation throughout the world, that the gospel just simply isn't enough for some people. That God's mercy isn't enough. That God's love isn't enough. That God's forgiveness with the promise of new and eternal life just simply isn't enough, so that we need to make the gospel about something else. Rather than a message of grace, rather than a message of God giving us what we do not deserve, which is the definition of grace, there are too many churches, there are too many Christians that share a message that have far too many people question whether they are deserving of God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy and forgiveness. Because on that day, Phyllis reminded me what's essential about the ministry of the church, and it's to put forth the very voice of the gospel, that this would be at the center of our proclamation and accessible to all people. Because what she asked for was so simple, yet so deeply profound. Her obituary said that she was remembered as someone who they remember her through her love, compassion, and unwavering dedication. But in that moment, she was turning to her Lord and Savior, surrendering herself to him for his love, compassion, and unwavering dedication, because she could trust that very voice of the gospel, that her sins were forgiven, and that through faith she was reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. And after, as we went through the commendation of the dying and the absolution, the forgiveness of her sins, with a smile on her face and a peaceful spirit, she said, "I'm ready." Now, in our gospel lesson today, the crucified and risen Christ, amid his disciples, says, "Peace be with you." And this is not a ghost. It's a resurrected body in their presence. Part of his proof of this is that he asks if they got something to eat. That always cracks me up. Guy's dead for a few days, and he's like, "You got something to eat, right? You know, you got some fish laying around." And then Jesus then speaks to the fulfillment of the scriptures regarding the Messiah's suffering and resurrection. It says that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That repentance and the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. The disciples are now witnesses to these things. The encounter with the crucified and risen Christ enables us to give witness to these things and to echo the very voice of the gospel to all people. Because this is a gospel of peace. This is a gospel of hope. This is a gospel of forgiveness and reconciliation that ensures new and eternal life. So let us not lose sight on the essential mission of the church, which is a communal mission that involves preaching, repentance, and forgiveness. What we didn't get in our gospel lesson today was verse 49 of chapter 24, which states, "And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power on high." When you go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel Gabriel says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power from on high will overshadow you." We give birth to the living word as the church. We are born anew when we enter through those waters of holy baptism. The church gives birth to us as part of this new creation, because we're centered in a spirituality of the word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, we have new life. We are born anew. We are born again. And as God's children, we don't just receive God's love, mercy, and forgiveness, but we get to share it. We get to proclaim it. We get to bear witness to it. It's more than just a resurrection appearance here that Jesus has with his disciples. As one of my seminary New Testament professors, Dr. Rick Carlson, writes, that this gospel lesson presents a vision of our inclusion with God's salvific plan involving Scripture, Jesus, and communal outreach fueled by the Holy Spirit. Our inclusion within God's salvific plan involving Scripture, Jesus, and communal outreach fueled by the Holy Spirit. Some powerful stuff. We must not lose sight of that. That vision and inclusion that Jesus calls us to. That there are hurting people that have never experienced the reconciling love of God through the proclamation of God's mercy and forgiveness. And there are people like Phyllis that need to hear that gospel at the very hour of their death. There are hurting people that have not only been told to fear God, but they've been told that God's mercy, love, and forgiveness is contingent on their works. It's contingent on how they behave in a world, that whether or not they're worthy of such a thing. And what that does, it makes a mockery of the cross, and it does not proclaim the power of the crucified and risen Christ. When we get away from the essential parts of what makes the church, we reduce the work and the ministry of the church in ways that could end up getting in the way of what we're called to proclaim, to share. Gets in the way of this message of God's love and forgiveness. Because as I said, grace is getting what we do not deserve. God's always coming to us. God claims us at holy baptism. God continues to announce the forgiveness of our sins, to remind us that we have a place with God, even when we've fallen short, especially when we've fallen short. God wants to remind us that there's a place for us with God. At the table, when we knew that our broken humanity nailed him to a cross to try to end his mission, he took that cross and turned it into an instrument and sign of peace, mercy, and forgiveness, that this cross would be used to bring about new and eternal life. So then at the table, claimed by God, we are fed with the true body and blood of Christ, reminding all of us of our place at the table and a place with God in God's kingdom that has no end. So right now, as disciples of the crucified and risen Christ, we hear, we see, and we experience all these things that the crucified and resurrected Christ gives to us through these means of grace, and invites us today and every day not to contain that power to ourselves, but to share this power and new reality and good news with all people. Beloved children of God, let us be witnesses to these things, that all people may hear the very voice of the gospel and to receive that grace that they so long to hear. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God,
rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. O God, our Holy One, you feed our deepest hungers as we share the holy meal that is the body and blood of Jesus given for us. Lead us to share all that we have and find in generosity, abundant life. God of grace. O God, our Creator, you bring forth all life on earth. Calm storms bring water to parched places and protect the climate, that this planet would sustain life in all its variety. God of grace. O God, our Savior, you offer wisdom and guidance beyond all human knowledge. Instruct lawmakers, judges, and elected officials to make decisions grounded in your justice and care for all people. God of grace. O God, our Elder, you care for all your children. Encourage those who are in times of transition, facing the loss of old ways and routines and anticipating change. Guide those who journey in grief, hope, illness, and uncertainty, especially Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, John, Dan, Eileen, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Theodore and family, Claire Ellen, Julie, Bill, Jeff, Thomas, Jim, and our homebound. God of grace. O God, our center, you bring all people together in you. Help us to remember our identity and purpose in our ministry. Move us to love our neighbors as ourselves and to share in beloved community. God of grace. O God, our resting place, your Son, Jesus, promised that we are held in your love forever. We remember our beloved who have died. As we remember and share their love, comfort those who mourn. God of grace.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding presence through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Praise God from the blessings flow.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day, you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your Word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your Word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will, and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death, resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the lectern side. An usher will release you forward. To come forward, just indicate your preference of consecrated wine or grape juice when you arrive. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. And at this time, anybody participating in Children's Church may come forward as well. Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. Announcement for the good of the community. As Christ sends us out into the world, as you cite the mission God has given us.
St. John, Luke, and the Church of Paul, center in the Word, strengthen the sacraments, send them to the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.